I'm like, why is that? Oh, because my headphones aren't on.
Hey, Hope.
I was like, I hear nothing. Why is it so quiet? Why?
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 Why? Let me tell you why.
Let me tell you a story. Okay, we should stop that.
Welcome. Oh. To the broadcast. No.
Welcome to another edition of The Broadcast. I am Vicky Barcelona, and joining me this week, another not female, Uncle Chris.
Hi, and thank you, Vicky. Real quick question before we get into all this. Is that you singing the opening song?
No, that is not me. Right. That is actually a musician friend of mine, Allie LaRoe.
Oh.
We actually had her on the podcast, and she performed for us live on the podcast, an acoustic set, a while back. I think there's video up on our broadcast YouTube page, which you just type in The Broadcast 999. You should find us on YouTube, I believe, as well. So while it's Facebook is The Broad-Cast, Twitter and Instagram is at The Broadcast 999 or TheBroadcast999@gmail.com. And you can call or text us at 253-778-6029. But yeah, we did a live performance with her. And I reached out to her because I wanted to have an intro song done by a local female musician. And I really love her work. And I kind of gave her some ideas I had, like the vibe. And I just let her take care of the lyrics and everything. And that's what she came up with. So if you guys ever need anything, she also is, she's in a band called Feral Folk. And they're really awesome.
Nice.
I really enjoy her stuff. So you should check her out for sure. But yeah, that's the story of where we got our song.
Well, I really like that.
The original song I kind of smushed together myself from.
All right.
It wasn't there. I mean, it was fine. It did the job, but I didn't want to get in trouble. But moving on, we did have a lot of fun last time that you were on the podcast, Chris.
I did have a blast. Thank you.
Last week, we did have Sarah and Danny stuck around because he didn't have anything else to do. And we did answer some more emails and such, but we did get some responses to some of the emails that you were here for to respond to,
or
some of the messages. Like one of them, this was Corey from Brenton. He had done the suggestions for like Father's Day gifts or gifts to give males. He's like, I'm texting from the Confidence episode. Wow, I need to catch up, LOL, which was the one that you and I were on. Following the advice and tricking my brain, but you're also right. Not a lot of people are very sociable around here, but tricking the brain works a bit. Also appreciate the shout out. So shout out again, Corey from Brenton.
Corey!
Were you, I don't know if you were here for this conversation.
Let's find out.
Anonymous had messaged in on Facebook, and basically the short version was that he was with a girl and they were both into kinky stuff. And so she had gone to a group and she didn't have sex with anybody while they were dating, but she let some people spank her and she thought that was okay. And he's like, well, I'm not really comfortable with it, but I'm not sure. They have since broken up. And now he's taking classes on how to like tie ropes and stuff. And now she's uncomfortable with him and doing that, learning how to do that, like because he's learning with other people and
if
stuff.
They're broken up, though?
Exactly.
So what does she even have to say about it now?
Exactly. So we basically
said... I was not
said,
on that episode, by the way.
No.
So I remember that.
We all thought that's kind of hypocritical of her.
A little bit.
Especially, and on top of that, they're not even dating. So he responded back.
Yeah. Oh, good. Cool.
Well, the first response was before he talked to her. So he says, thanks, guys. Had a long night thinking about what you all said. I'll keep you updated on the situation if you'd like. And I now think that this friendship / relationship has been one-sided and unhealthy. Thank you for helping me realize what kind of a person they really are, even though I have feelings for them. And then he later sent another message. Hey, broadcast. A little update after the conversation I had. I didn't directly say what she was doing was hypocritical. I had merely said that what she said was not fair.
Okay.
She then got very defensive and angry. To make a four-hour conversation short, I promptly told her I did not want to talk to her anymore. Realizing that there are negative people in your life helps you identify why you were unhappy. It may have not been pleasant, but I still thank you guys for helping me figure out the toxicity in my life.
Excellent. Well, so I'm glad you guys could help.
I'm glad that, you know, we were able to kind of give you a little insight. And like I did reply to him. It's like, you know, it's good to kind of get out of those situations.
Oh,
it's just better in the long run. But I do think that you were here for the conversation about the guy who found out his fiance was bisexual.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
And that he was very excited, like, oh, like, I, you know, possible threesomes. Mm-hmm. And
he wanted to test the waters.
He wanted to try finding partners for her. But she was like, let me meet them organically. And he was like, but I can find the partners for him. Mm. He replies, like, hey, I just listened to the latest podcast and I appreciate the feedback regarding my fiance coming out as bisexual. Pretty much right after I messaged you, I realized I had answered my own question, but I was still eager to hear what you guys had to say. Thanks for not thinking I'm a douche for immediately thinking about threesomes rather than how she feels.
No.
I definitely changed my perspective about it once we talked about it more. I'll be listening to you guys more. I love how real your discussions are. Take care.
Oh.
I'm like, yay.
Yay. I was a part of that one for sure.
Yeah. Good vibes, good stuff.
Yeah.
And this one, James texted in. I think he messaged this in on posted this on the broadcast Facebook page.
Okay.
And I thought it was funny. It's a picture and it says 8 ways to say that your fly is open.
The barn door is open.
That one's not it.
XYZPDQ.
Nope.
Wow, I'm old. Go ahead.
All right. One is the cucumber has left the salad. Two, you've got Windows in your laptop.
Oh.
Three, you need to bring your tray table to the upright and locked position. Four, your pod bay door is open, Hal.
Oh, that's old school.
The Buick is not all the way in the garage.
Buick, thank you.
Sailor Ned is trying to make a little shore leave. A little shore leave, yeah.
Man, I'm with you. Man, I don't know.
You've got a security breach at Los Pantalones. Okay, I think it was my favorite. And Mini-Me is making a break for the escape pod.
There we go.
That's not, like, it's awkward because sometimes, because my eyes tend to, like, wander around. I'm looking at stuff. Like, if I'm at work, I'm like, how do I bring that up to my coworkers that their fly is down?
Yeah.
Because then you're basically admitting that you're looking at their crotch.
By the way. Well, I mean, on one hand, yes. But on the other hand, if you're used to walking around and seeing people without their pants open in the front, when you do see it, it sort of draws the eye.
Right.
You know, I'm not necessarily looking at your crotch. I just happen to notice that there are two shiny bits where there ought not be any.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's just like, hmm. Yeah.
But on the other hand, yeah, sometimes you do spend a lot of time looking at people's crotch. It happens.
Well, when you're my height.
There, see?
it tends to happen. But we did actually get a voicemail this time around, too.
Oh, cool.
Our second voicemail that wasn't from Google Voice. Let's see what they said. Let me see. I got the button. Yes, I got the button.
Hey, girls. It's your buddy James here. I have a really quick question for you. After being married for 7 years, one thing about a woman really irks me. And that's when you can tell that there's something wrong, and you ask them about it, and they're like, no, I'm perfectly fine. You keep asking, what's wrong? Because you know something's wrong. And they're like, if you don't know what it is already, then I'm not going to tell you. Why is it women expect us to read their mind? What is so hard about just saying what's on your mind? As guys, we may not have a lot on our mind, but damn it, we have stuff on our minds too, and we can't be expected to read your minds. Thanks for letting me rant. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
All right.
Yeah.
So I have a couple theories.
Go.
As a female, I kind of have a little bit of insight into this. Two things. One, I think the reason why women expect you to know is because we're kind of brainwashed into seeing these movies, romantic comedies, or just romantic movies, and you got your princes and stuff, and they always end up doing the right thing, saying the right thing at the right time. But guess what? Just like porn isn't real, those movies are not real. So as a whole, us ladies need to realize that, you know, as much as you want guys to talk about their feelings and communicate, you need to do the same.
Right.
So that is something that gals, get over yourselves. I'm saying this as a gal. Like, you're not going to get anywhere if you don't communicate with your significant other, and it's just going to get messy.
Right.
And my other theory was, where was it? I lost it. But if you have something to say, I'll get back to mine.
No, I agree with you 100%. Open communication back and forth. If I've got something on my mind, I'm not going to keep you from knowing about it because as my significant other. And because the only thing that can happen there is maybe I'll get a little bit of help, you know? And if there's something that you're doing that's bothering me as my significant other, then if I can figure out a way around it in my own head to keep it from being a problem, great. If not, I'm going to talk to you about it. That's when it gets tricky. Because if my automatic assumption, being the self-conscious narcissist that I am, I assume when you won't tell me what's wrong, that it's my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's problematic, man, because now I'm just going through my, you know, it's like when you're
Rolodex of like, what did I do?
What did I do? It's when your folks ask you, do you know why I want to talk to you today? Like, you don't. You say no.
No, because then you start listing. Is it because I set the garbage can on fire? You did what?
You did what? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they're going to find out all this stuff that you did. No.
I think the other. Well, up until the point where he said, it's like, well, you should know why I'm mad. If that wasn't said.
Yeah.
The reason why girls tend to bottle up feelings and emotions, at least why I do, is because we don't want to seem emotional. And it is interesting that like. You just showing any emotion to some people as a female, it is looked as being overly emotional because it gets a little bit, you know, misconstrued. It's like, oh, you're acting, you know, crazy and irrational. It's like, no, I'm just having feelings right now.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm upset. Mm-hmm. I'm allowed to be upset. I'm not like setting the garbage can on fire. You know, that's when I'd be a little rational. So I know that sometimes like I don't like to be too like even with like good feelings. Like I don't like being overly romantic or like, you know, gushy and stuff. And I've dated guys and I've met guys recently that are more on like the romantic side. And it's taking a lot for me to like just, okay, well, let me do that again because I'm so used
level,
to
yeah.
I'm so used to like hiding that from people. And so I understand that part. But for her to say, well, you should know what's wrong. Okay, yeah. Grow up.
Yeah,
we're not terrible. In high school anymore.
Exactly.
Like, if you need to play this for your wife, feel free. And if she wants to get mad at me, that's okay. Because I'm telling you this as a female, like one of a sister in the world. It is not by doing that you are making the problem between you and him. And when like the best thing I ever read was, it's not you and him against each other. It is you and him against the problem.
Exactly. Thank you. You're a team. Figure it out. And if whatever's bothering you, and this is for guys too, if whatever's bothering you, you think is so bad that you can't tell your significant other, the person theoretically you should be closest to in all of the world, then yeah, you've got a bigger problem, and maybe you need to talk to somebody about it, somebody, a professional. But here's the thing, and here's what I want, this is what I want to impart, and this is not my information, this is not my wisdom, this is something I gleaned from arguably one of the most philosophically important movies ever made, White Men Can't Jump. I'm serious. Yes. When you, not
just
about
wasn't
that.
I was not expecting it, but all right.
And this goes mostly for men, but it is significant enough that I want to share it with women as well. When you talk to your significant other and they are upset about something, or they complain about something, or they note that there is a problem, you have three choices. You can empathize, you can sympathize, or you can solve the problem. The trick is knowing which one they want.
More often than not, I will say, is for females, and this isn't always me, because like I kind of play the guy role, most females, if they're complaining about a problem, they don't want you to fix it.
Nope.
Especially if it doesn't involve
90% of the time,
it's
that's
just
exactly right.
Wanting to vent, let it out.
Correct. That's when you got to pick between empathize and sympathize. And,
right.
It's a subtle but important difference. If you don't know the difference between empathy and sympathy, you can look it up.
And then it's also like understanding your partner. It's like sometimes if your partner is the person that likes to get stuff done herself, is kind of the leader of it, most likely she's just complaining because she wants to vent. But also it's being in tune with your partner to like, I'm very like, I'll take care of things. Like I'll do this. I'll do the planning because that's how my mind works.
Right.
What I look for in a partner, because I have a friend that's very similar to me, and her partner is kind of what I want somebody to be that equal. He's very like, you take control. I'm here as your support. And when she can't do it, when she's feeling weak or whatever, she knows she can count on him and lean on him. He's not going to crumble. He's going to be like, nope, babe, I got this.
Right.
Like, he can step up to the plate anytime she needs to. And that's kind of what I would like to happen. So if, like, hey, you know what? I'm venting, but I do need you to help me solve this problem. See, I need you to do this.
And it's funny that you talk about that as your ideal, because to my way of thinking, that should be normal. Like, that should be the thing on both sides. You know, whenever you're in a relationship with somebody because you see something in them that you are compatible with or that you want to be around. And in generally speaking, in any situation, and I'm not just talking about, you know, moral support or, you know, financial support or anything like that. I mean, even in the bedroom and things like that, when you have opportunity to help the other person and you don't take it, then you're not a very good person. But if you are doing something and you need help, if you don't expect them to help you with it, you're not in a good relationship either.
No.
Same
problem.
It's
about, again, being able to communicate. And one of the things I've had to talk to people and, like, going back and, you know, therapy and talking to people, like, my previous relationships, like, my first major one outside of high school when I was 18, I look back and I'm like, I was taking care of him. Like, that was what was driving me. And that's what was kind of the main focal point of that relationship, because I was that, like, love and attention. Like, we can go all psychology and freaking Freudian on this stuff. But I was basically, you know, taking care of some needs that he was so desperately needing. And I had to step back and think, okay, I can never do this again. I am not here to take care of somebody completely. But there is nothing wrong with leaning on each other. And that's, I got that from Modern Family. It's like, we're in a relationship. When one of us is weak, we lean on the other.
Right.
It's about, you know, being your own individual person, giving it as much, you know, 100%. It's not 50-50, it's 100%. But sometimes you're weak and you can only give 70%.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about, you know, balance. So that's kind of how I feel. Even though I haven't been in a relationship for a long time, that's just kind of, I've already have plans for whenever that does happen.
You're ready for it. Yes.
I'm ready
practicing.
For it.
That's what I call dating.
Right.
You're just practicing for a relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on, speaking of doing things incorrectly.
Oh, well, today on Madam Segway.
Fashionbeans.com. It's kind of like a lifestyle website, it seems like. They did a list of 8 things you've been doing completely wrong. Is there anything that you can look back on and you realize, oh, I've been doing that wrong my entire life, or saying it wrong, or eating this wrong?
I don't know.
Like,
maybe.
I've been eating, so, you know, like the Sara Lee pound cake you get in the freezer section?
Yeah.
I've been eating that since I was a kid and I love it. You're supposed to heat it up.
What?
Apparently. Like, because it says heat up in the microwave for this much time. I'm like, what? I eat it cold.
Yeah.
I always eat it cold. It tastes so much better cold. And then whenever I have warm pound cake, it's gross.
I don't know if I've ever tried that heated up. That's an interesting idea.
I don't think I'd like it. I like it cold and dunked in some milk. And so apparently I've been doing it, quote unquote, wrong for a while. Well, so
all right. There we go. Okay. Nuke your Sara Lee.
Actually, I think we just got a text message for our podcast. Let's see. It popped up on my phone.
Oh.
All right. Let's see.
Technology is amazing.
Right. So that show on Netflix, Nailed It, inspired me. My wife really wanted to turn our bed into one of those cute Pinterest bedrooms when they put the bed on pallets and some candles, you know, make the bed like, it's like, and make the bed, then watch it burn down. Well, check out my new bedroom. So he sent us a picture. You should definitely post it on our Facebook page. That is awesome. It is legit, like, a bed on top of a bunch of pallets, and they put a bunch of Christmas lights underneath or candles, and it glows. So the under their bed glows. Yes, please post that on. I'll text you two back and say please post that on our Facebook page so other people can see. That actually turned out really good.
Yeah, that looks awesome.
Congratulations,
nice job.
Anywho, going back to the things that we are doing incorrectly.
What else am I doing wrong?
Taking a shower.
What? Apparently, how am I taking a shower wrong?
You know, there's nothing better than a long, hot shower, right?
Truth.
Especially in the middle of the winter.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not wanting to take a hot shower because hot water opens the pores, which promotes water loss and also washes away the skin's protective emollient oils, further compounding water loss. It's also, you know, it causes dry and itchy skin. It's just, yeah, especially if your pores are open and then they're susceptible to get more gunk in there. I saw this video recently and I sent it to my friend. This woman, I think she lives in Japan. She's 50 years old and she looks smoking. Like, she looks like she's 28.
All right.
Like, she is gorgeous. And so one of the things she does
every
day.
It's Ming-Na, isn't it?
Is she from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yep.
Nope, it's not her.
Oh, okay. Because she's in her 50s and she looks
amazing. No, right. So one of the things this like woman does, she works out every day, but she also goes swimming in a lake every single day. Hmm. 365 days a year, even if it's cold down. She says the cold water has really helped. Hmm. So they say cold showers are supposed to be really good for you.
That's what I was going to say. So do they mean a cold shower? Do they mean a warm shower?
I'm guessing like warm showers are fine. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if you can handle the cold shower, I hear those are supposed to be really good for your skin and your hair.
Hard pass.
Yeah. Oh, no, in the summer, though, cold showers are so good.
See, I do the opposite thing. I take an extra hot shower. So really? That when I get out of the shower, the air around me feels that much cooler.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, you're stripping your skin's natural oils, and it's going to cause it to dry out.
Dang it, my natural oils.
Your
I
natural
need those.
Oils. All right, going on to a realm that you're a little bit more familiar with, gaming.
Uh-oh.
You've been playing Monopoly wrong.
Everyone has.
Everyone has, and yeah. I think you know where I'm going with this. So apparently, if you go back to the rule book, mm-hmm. what you're supposed to be doing is, basically when you, if you land on a spot and you don't buy it, it then becomes open for everyone else to buy.
Exactly.
That will make the game go by so much faster.
So much faster.
It just, and it will probably cause, hopefully, a lot less headaches.
Also, guys, free parking is just free parking. There's nothing to get on that space. Don't
right.
put your money in the middle. Don't collect it when you, no, it's not
no.
a thing.
I mean, there's house rules, but whatevers.
Yeah.
But yes, when you don't buy it, it kind of goes up into auction.
Yeah.
So any other player can buy it on your turn.
Precisely.
Charging your phone.
Oh, I saw this one a little while ago, and I do it now, and it's good advice.
All right, well, what is it?
Tell the people. So the idea that you, when you go to bed at night, for example, or whenever, and you plug your phone in and to charge it so that mm-hmm. it stays at 100%. The problem is when it gets to 100% and it's still charged or it's still plugged in, it is suddenly losing power and then gaining power and losing power and gaining power and losing power and gaining power. So it's bouncing back and forth from just under 100 to at 100. And then what that does is it's causing your battery to wear itself out.
Uh-huh.
What they talk about is the ideal zone, the butter zone you want to have your phone stay at or around is about 80%, and then unplug it. Like
yes.
I need to do with mine right now, as a matter of fact. I'm at 95. That way, your battery doesn't get hit with all those little micro recharges mm-hmm. that is killing the battery on your phone.
That's actually would have explained it a lot better than I would have.
Yeah, all right.
But that's what I try doing in the middle of the night. I'll wake up. I'm like, oh, my phone's charged. I'll unplug it
yeah.
As best as I can. But that doesn't always happen. One of the other things is number four, trimming your fingernails.
Okay.
So you might have noticed that your nail clippers have a subtle curve as if they're designed for a single snip action. That might have been the intent, but it actually takes like 3 or 4 snips to get it across the length of the average fingernail to tidy up those hands.
Right.
Whatever you do not cram your nail into the clipper head and start snipping. A common mistake men and women make when trimming their own nails is the angle at which they approach it at,
uh-huh.
which is a celebrity manicure saying. Clipping straight on can bend and ultimately damage the nail.
Yeah,
don't go too short either, because you want a little bit of fresh white growth at the end of your nails. And if you try to trim your nails down to the skin, you open your finger. You open your fingertips up to the risk of infection.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
I get around that by just chewing the heck out of them. So.
Mm.
Yeah.
No. See, mine end up getting really long and then they break like I did right before the podcast started. So that was mm-hmm. fun. So if you heard snipping, that was me fixing my nail. Because I hate like accidentally scratching it or touching it against something
yeah.
when it's all cut up.
I used to grow my nails long back in my goth days, but those days
did you paint
long
them
past.
Black and black, everything?
Yep, always.
I knew my wood shop teacher in middle school said that he had a guy who wore like the baggy pants and it got caught on a machine. But he described that he would like file his fingernails to a point.
Okay.
Like little point.
Wow.
And I was like, that is gross.
That's next level.
Anywho. Number five is holding the steering wheel. So we've always heard that your hands should stay at the 2 and 10 position.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, ideally I think would be like literally right across from each other, straight on.
Yeah.
From the middle of your steering wheel, straight on. Well, actually now they're saying that it is widely seen as dangerous.
Yes.
So when your airbag is triggered, you know, the super hot nitrogen gas fills the bag, forcing the plastic cover open on your steering wheel. So the bag expands towards you at 150 to 250 miles an hour.
Yep.
And the higher your hands are on the wheel, the more likely they'll be over the plastic cover and more likely to be injured when it blows up.
Right.
And like even Steve was saying when he was driving once, like it, like the airbags deployed and it like burned or hurt his fingers.
Yeah.
His thumbs.
Because of the way he was holding the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we had read recently, I think the best way to go would be more like the 3 and 9 position or even like the 4 and 8 position, kind of down lower.
Down lower, exactly. So that way, anything that happens, the bag is going to come straight at you and not have to go through your arms to get at you. You're going to break your arm or the plastic cover is going to rip into your flesh. Yeah, it's a thing.
Especially if you're one of those gals with the really, really pretty engagement rings. If that thing's coming at you, your hands get shoved back into your face. Oh, you're scratching the crap out of your face.
I'm telling you, people. 9 and 3.
No. Or even less. Just that. I actually feel really comfortable just holding it lower.
6 and 6.
Just 6 and 6. Maybe 6:30 and 5:30.
or put your elbow at 9:15 and then one hand on the wheel at about 10.
And the other one around your gal.
Around your gal. Your special lady friend.
Number 6 is scrambling eggs for breakfast.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, how
Don't
hard is it?
Don't tell me how to cook. Go ahead.
Well, how do you make your scrambled
how
eggs?
How do I make my scrambled eggs?
How does Chris make his scrambled eggs?
Okay, so depending on how many people I'm cooking for, eggs in a bowl, measure out a certain amount of milk, throw in salt and pepper, and just a splash of olive oil.
Okay.
Whip the crap out of that, and then once the pan is good and hot with maybe a little butter or maybe a little bit more olive oil in the pan, then I pour it slowly, and then I let that set until it starts to bubble around the edges. Then I whip the crap out of it again.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Fluffy.
All kinds of fancy.
Light and fluffy. Because you let it sit for a while and that gets some of the moisture out too because you don't want soggy.
I don't like wet wet eggs. You don't like wet scrambled eggs. The only time they're okay,
never.
My mom makes these, I think she calls them huevos a la mexicana.
See? Sí.
Mexican style eggs. Where she will cook onions, tomatoes, like that are cut up really, really fine, and jalapenos. And she'll saute those first with some oil. And because the onions release all the water, she then puts the eggs in that. And they do come out a little wet, but they taste so good.
Sounds amazing.
Good.
That sounds really, really good.
It's the only time I like my eggs a little wet.
A little wet. But, okay. So, what am I doing wrong?
Okay. It says, it's like a good scramble should take less than a minute. Because you actually want to scramble your eggs over medium-low heat. That quick sizzle will dry out your eggs. The trick is to whisk the eggs together in a separate bowl, drop a dollop of butter into a nonstick pan, and cook those eggs over medium-low heat while stirring them until they begin to solidify. And then take them off the burner just before they look done, and they'll continue to cook until they cool down. So the point is just to not, because some people just want to crank it on high, which I've been guilty of.
Oh, yeah. I used to do that.
Yeah, just like, hurry up, cook.
I didn't mention what temperature. I always cook. I've got a 1 to 10 dial on my stove, and I 5. Period. I cook almost everything at that temp just because it sometimes it does take a little bit longer with things like proteins and vegetables and things like that, but it also lets whatever flavor I'm trying to get out of there really come alive.
Well, I feel like proteins cook faster. Proteins and sugars. Because I think I remember learning that in my cooking class, like in the microwave, like if you'll notice, like if you cook rice and meat, the meat's going to be hot as hell while your rice is cold.
Yeah. No, that's true too.
Because proteins and fats, sugars, are going to cook
faster. They're
going
to heat up faster. Yeah.
One of the things, so I grew up with a really crappy stove and only one burner was actually really good.
Oh.
And the only way we can get it to work properly was if you set it on high and that would be like probably medium.
Yeah. And everyone's got that. Yeah.
I made the mistake because I was a kid and I was learning how to cook and we had this crappy stove. So I went to my aunt's house who had a nicer stove.
Oops.
And I turned it on high and I was in the middle of scrambling the eggs or putting them in a bowl when I left the pan with the hot oil on.
Oh, boy.
And it starts smoking and I panic.
Yeah, of course you do.
I'm like, Dad, because my dad was like, we were visiting my aunt's house and I was cooking, you know, food for my my cousins. And then as I'm about to move it from the burner, because I'm like, this isn't good. It sets up on fire.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's your problem.
Dad! He was still not, I think he was watching like a soccer game or something. And then I like panic and he finally comes in as I do the thing you're not supposed to do.
No, you didn't throw water on it.
I was like 9 or 10.
What do you know about it? Yeah, exactly.
So I put it in the sink and I'm putting water. And my dad's like, no. And then, and I go running because like, my dad's in here. I'm out.
Yep.
Yeah, I panicked.
You got this, Dad.
Side note, if your pan ever sets on fire, baking soda. Or put the lid on.
Yeah. Put the lid on.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 7 is using cotton swabs in your ears.
Oh, I've heard. I think I know where they're going with this one.
You're not supposed to do it at all.
Like at all.
You're not supposed to put anything in your ear.
In the ear canal. But if you're just swabbing around the outside, is okay, right? Yeah.
It's like you. Yeah.
It feels
basically
so good,
the ear canal makes wax on purpose. The wax in your ears waterproofs in the ear canal and keeps the water from going in and getting stuck. So it's if you clean your ear with a Q-tip, it strips the wax and lets the water stay. And I also heard that like it pushes some of the wax in further, kind of clogging your hearing.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Which I'm guilty. I love the way it feels.
It's like a tiny little massage for the inside of my ear. It's like, so good.
Especially if it's itchy. And I think we did some research because I was wondering, like, why are my ears so itchy? Uh-huh. It's because if you wear headphones a lot, you're going to produce more earwax.
And you know who wears headphones a lot?
Us.
Yep.
If you're in a radio podcast industry.
Guess what? I'm wearing headphones right now.
Yep, we are. number 8 is sitting at your computer.
Oh, here we go.
So the problem here isn't what you're doing. It's that you're not doing much of anything else.
Oh, I see.
So even if you exercise after you get home, you're probably not completely reversing the effects of a day spent in a chair. And if you don't exercise, you might be heading for a catastrophic injury.
Hmm.
So you work with poor posture. Then the average American watches about 6 hours of TV, you know, with poor posture as well. And apparently, you know, Scott Bouch, which is the chiropractor and president of the American Chiropractic Association's Council, says if I do that, eventually I'm going to do something I do every day. And, it's not good to have these sedentary activities that take place every day. So, I mean, if you're at your desk, stand up, basically.
Yeah.
Move around.
That's why these stand-up desk things have become as popular as they have, and also people taking more frequent, if shorter, breaks to get up and get away from their computer, because it's been shown that this is a problem.
I wish we kind of had standy desks here, because I've used one that has like the double screen.
Oh yeah,
and like it was a standing desk, and then when I wanted to sit, I could just bring it right back down, up and down. It was so nice.
Yeah,
I kind of want one. They're like $200, so I want one for whenever I have my own house.
That would be just fine.
Oh, it'd be so good.
But, there was something he said in there that I wanted to ask him about. No, I can't think of it. I can't ask him anyway. I was going to ask you, but I lost it. Never mind.
Yeah, anywho. But yeah, it just says also that if you're not, you know, if you have a job in front of a computer, do start a workout plan. Just kind of start moving around, like, on top of that. Because I feel like if you're sitting at a desk, like, when I was a waitress when I was 18, and granted, metabolism's changed over the last couple of years.
Well.
But from the first couple of years of me working here, like, I did gain weight. Even though I was eating, like, diner food every day.
Mm-hmm.
I was on my feet all day.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. See, that's the thing. And back when I was working at Target and unloading trucks, I did not eat well at all. I mean, I ate like crap. And the problem was I was in almost the best shape of my life because all I was doing for 6 or 8 hours a day was moving heavy stuff around, you know?
And I think I've come to the realization that I don't think I could ever be like a salesperson or somebody that has a job. Like if I didn't work in radio, like what kind of job would I do? It's like, right. Well, I have a lot of computer, you know, experience and social media experience. Because I recently had to do some work for my friend and it was just like mindless, turn your brain off, go on autopilot, just follow the numbers, grab, like I was basically doing shipping.
Oh, ouch. Yeah.
It was so much fun. I had fun. I turned my brain off. I had my music playing.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like, boop, boop, boop. Gather all the stuff. Make sure it's right on the label. Put it there for someone else because we always double check.
Right.
Like, boop, got it. Oh, here's this. It's just like literally back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it was kind of fun. It was like a puzzle. I'm like, where? I just saw this item. Where is this item on this giant wall? I'm like, oh, here it is. Here's that. Here's that. Okay, cool.
Huh.
It's just so relaxing.
Right. I take it back. That does sound actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, because like everything's just kind of laid out. Like they granted they're really organized. So everything's just kind of laid out in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like all about finding it. Because like they're still working on the organizational process. So they have like three sets. Like everything's pretty much on the side of like this is the grouping of what this product is and this product and these.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, one of the main products, they're all numbered, but they're not numbered numerically. Like, they're not all in order.
They're not in sequence, right. Yet. Right.
So it takes you a minute to find it. But then it's like, I saw this a couple minutes ago, and I know it's in this general area. I found it. So I like working. I'd rather work with, like, on my feet and my hands and something like that where I don't have to think. It feels
that's
so nice.
Bad. All right.
So I don't know. Like, now I'm curious about you guys. Like, what things that you have been doing wrong forever that you didn't realize you were doing wrong? Also, like, do you prefer being in front of a computer or do you like more stuff with your hands? Like, 'cause I don't think I could ever be a carpenter or electrician or anything like that. That would just drive me insane. I wouldn't like that.
Yeah, I think anything where I actually got to work with my hands and I could put my hand on something at the end of the day and say I made that, that would be nice. I would enjoy that. So carpenter, yes. Electrician, probably not.
No. don't know. Like, I probably get real fat. Like, I'm that person that's like, I'm going to do this arts and crafts project. I can do it. And then I buy the stuff. And I'm like, no, apparently I can't. I mean, there's some that I just need
Start
to work
small.
On. Like, I got a bunch of watercolor stuff and paper. And I was like, I can do the same thing I saw in a video. And I was like, why am I not getting the same colors that they are doing? How am
what
I not
am I
getting?
Doing wrong?
So I have to sit there and watch some tutorials and actually don't assume I know how to do it just from watching one
good call.
Sped up video.
Good call.
So that'll do it too. But I never asked what you ended up doing for the 4th of July weekend.
Oh, on the 4th of July, I hung out with my folks. We went to Muckle Street Casino, lost some money, and had a really nice dinner. For the weekend itself, we did a lot of extra running around. There was on Saturday, we were at the Seattle Street Food Festival, and while we were downtown, we're like, you know what? We haven't been over to that McMinimins in Queen Anne in a while. Let's head over there.
Okay.
So we walked.
That's the one near Key Arena, right? No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right around the corner from there. But from South Lake Union to Lower Queen Anne, walked it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a far walk.
Amazing. And then when we were done with that, we walked from Lower Queen Anne to the Union Street Station to get back on the light rail and head home. So all told, we probably walked about five and a half miles that day.
I feel like you worked for your food.
Yeah, we did. Had a couple of beers and some food in the middle there, but we still walked those 5.5 miles.
Damn.
Yeah.
And did you just kind of hang out for the rest of the weekend then?
Yeah, we did not have a lot planned. We didn't get back in touch with anybody in general. Just kind of was just pretty chill, me and the missus. And then on Sunday, we got some of our errands and running around done. It was nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
I feel like I got my weekend just kind of... It was kind of all a blur.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what was I doing?
Yeah, I'm struggling to remember, honestly. Right. We have like 5 days off and I can remember like two.
Well, like Wednesday, I mean, it was 4th of July. It was one of those, like, it felt like it was 2 days in one because we were busy, but it wasn't overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, we got to go run this errand, do this and this. And I had some friends come over for a little bit and then they had to go to like another gathering, but I got to hang out with my nieces and just, we made carne asada and we just hung out. And so then they left, and then later at night, we had fireworks going off, and we were hanging out with I call him my nephew. Like, I've known his mom since I was, like, 6 years old. Mm-hmm. I was her maid of honor, and I was there when he was born. So I'm like, you're my nephew.
Yeah, just deal with it.
He's a little S sometimes, but I can say
aren't
that.
Aren't they all?
Yes. He's at that fun stage. He's 4. So he's got an opinion.
There
and
it is.
He's very much like, this is what I want to do. His favorite game is Chase Me. So I'm just like, God dang it, kid. He's like, come play with me. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm tired right now. Although I can get around it if I just pull out a book. I'm like, can I read to you? I will read to you.
Oh.
And he loves that.
That's cool.
But obviously we're doing fireworks. My dad bought him some fireworks too. So we're lighting them all off. And the mom's already over it. So I'm the one lighting all the fireworks, which made me realize I'm the adult now. So that was weird. I'm like, holy crap. Because I remember when my uncle Ruben would light up. My uncle Ruben. For 4th of July, whenever we did 4th of July with him, like, he would be that guy that would spend, like, drop hundreds on fireworks at the stand. Just hundreds of
Everybody's
dollars.
Got that uncle.
And so I was like, I'm Uncle Ruben right now. But wait, except I didn't spend any money on fireworks, and there was only a couple cheesy ones, because this kid's 4.
Well, let me ask you a question. The part of town that you live in.
Yes.
Wherever that may be.
Lake Stevens.
Lake Stevens, thank you. Were there a lot of backyard fireworks going off, or was it sort of intermittent?
So during when we were lighting them off, we were lighting them off like at 8.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still light out.
Yeah.
So to the days leading up and even a couple days after, we live in a place which it's like suburbs, but there's still a lot of rural areas where like kind of hickish.
Yep.
So we would hear a lot of boom, like, oh my God, we're getting invaded.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, like, it's not like a continuous stream all day, but like over the course of the day, there was multiple.
Yeah.
And there wasn't anything really lighting up because you could like stand in the middle of the street and you look one way and there's fireworks going off like to the sky, not just like the little rockets on the ground.
Little bumblebees and stuff, yeah.
But I went to bed around 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm an old lady.
Yo.
And I could just hear it just going off, like all the big ones. I'm like, of course, now that I go to bed, they're all going off.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing.
But I could sleep through anything, so it was fine.
Because where I was living in South Tacoma, from about 8:30 in the evening until well past 1 in the morning, it was literally a constant barrage. Just nonstop. Like, it seemed like every other house in my entire neighborhood for at least a 3-mile radius was having something. And it was just... It was constant. It was like being in a war zone, and it was both awesome and terrifying at the same time.
It's just like, I want to sleep.
Yeah, and freaking my cats out. But yeah, hard to sleep through.
Oh, we did find a dog. A dog came like running to, so it escaped one of our neighbor's houses and it went to my next door neighbor's house trying to get in, but nobody was home. Had those neighbors been home, there would be a lot more fireworks. They love their fireworks. And so the dog's trying to get in. We're like, where the hell is this dog from? And so we grab him. And so we call the number. And so the lady comes in. She's like, yeah, we thought he'd be okay. We locked him up. Apparently not. They didn't want to bring him on the boat. So we're taking Molly on the boat now.
Okay.
But, I mean, she was very, very appreciative. So I was like, we got a cute little doggy hanging out. But yeah, I mean, nephew was being a little cranky sometimes. I'm like, dude, no, we're waiting till the sun goes down a little bit to light off the cool ones.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but, you know, it was funny because he went from being scared of sparklers to loving them,
yeah,
to thinking he was too cool for sparklers over the course of the night. And then I lit two of them at the same time and started playing with both hands. And then he thought that was cool. They were cool again.
All right.
So I'm like, wow.
Good man.
So many emotions, kid. Like, calm down. Thursday, I think I just hung out, went, got brunch, went, saw Ant-Man. That was really, I liked it.
Oh, yeah. Was that pretty good?
Yeah. I think because I had so much stuff to do in my head, like because Friday I went to Portland. So when I went to go see the movie, I'm like, crap, I still got to pack. I got to clean. I got to do this. I got to do that. The movie felt too long to me. But I think it's just because I felt like I had a lot of stuff to do. So I was just kind of like, come on, movie, just be done. And I think it was like 2 hours or something, maybe a little more.
I haven't seen the runtime on that. But
no. But I enjoyed it. I think even if you're not a Marvel fan, I think you'll still enjoy it. There were a couple references that made me realize, I'm like, oh, I actually don't remember how Ant-Man, the original movie, ended.
Oh.
I don't remember like, oh, yeah, you were there, huh? You did do that. Mm. I don't remember. It just showed how memorable the first Ant-Man was.
See, I really love Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly, so I will probably still go see this.
It was really good. And Michael Pena. I love him
so
much.
Oh, yeah.
He's so great.
I think my Thursday was when I actually finished up the project that I just put on the YouTube channel for BJ Shea's Geek Nation.
Oh, yeah, you were making money.
Yeah, I was making
money. For your board games. He's not doing anything illegal. Calm down.
I hate paper money in a game, and I figured out that I could make copies of the paper money that came with the game and then cut circles and paste those circles onto poker chips, basically. I mean, there's a little bit more involved, and it's very crafty. If you want to see what I did, go over to the Geek Nation YouTube page. Mm-hmm. But that was a good chunk of my Thursday.
Nice. Yeah. Like, I was actually very impressed.
Oh, thank you.
And it does feel better, huh?
Oh, yeah. So much better. Oh, you have no idea. I mean, I almost double the weight of the game with this, but it's totally worth it.
Yeah. Friday and then Saturday I came back. We went to Portland and we went shopping, my friend and I. I only bought one thing. My dad's like, that was a whole shopping trip. What'd you buy? I'm like, oh, I guess one thing. Because I spent a lot of money on food.
There, yeah.
Portland's an eating city,
though, man.
Yeah, we had like sushi. Had this and that. And then I had a freaking side note talking about like alcohol and stuff. Because I don't really drink much anymore. I'll do like one or two and then call it a day.
Okay.
I'm like, well, if I'm only going to drink one or two, I want it to be tasty. And I found these ciders
that
were a rosé cider
with
hibiscus. And I'm like, I love all those things.
Amazing.
I did not like it.
No?
Mm-mm.
Really?
I'll have to bring it in and see what you think, because you love ciders, too.
I do love ciders.
So, like, there's just something weird about it.
Too flowery, perfumey?
It might have been, maybe I think it was too perfumey without that sweetness.
Got it.
So it's just like, okay, it just feels like it was missing something. Like, if it was just a little sweeter, and that's what I was thinking. Like, if I had sugar, this might make it a little better. So I might have to bring it in so you can try it and you can tell me what you think.
That would be just fine. Go ahead. Sorry.
And I was going to say, if you guys have any suggestions on ciders, let me know. I love ciders.
I had the most amazing pineapple cider.
Ooh, was it the Ace one?
No.
Okay.
No, this was a smaller company. I went into Edison City Ale House down in South Tacoma. In fact, just a few blocks from my house. That's why I walked to it. And they had a pineapple cider, and then they had a lime cider.
Huh.
Right? Sounds weird.
All right.
But I didn't have them together, but I mean, I had both of them, and they're both from the same company. And right now, of course, I'm blanking on the name of the company. But if you go in there to Edison City, I'm sure they could tell you exactly what it was. But both incredible and vastly different,
which I was really impressed.
The lime one was like...
I'm picturing like if a cider was a margarita.
That's exactly what I was going to
say.
Yeah. If you could imagine a cider margarita, that's exactly what I was drinking without the tequila edge. Just the pureness of a lime essence, if you will. And so good. Like I had two of those.
Like a stronger margarita LaCroix.
Love it.
Is that
That's what I'm happening. Okay. That's what's happening. Yes.
Except because LaCroix sometimes tastes like... the spirit of a soda.
Yeah.
Like it does, it's like it's missing. Like it's just like, I was here and I've been gone for a couple of years.
I forget who I was talking to the other day, but it says it sounds like what they did is they took some water and ran it over an unpeeled orange and then put it in a can. And I said, you're not far off.
No. So I'm like, but I'm thinking it probably tastes a little stronger than that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was very flavorful, very delicious. So, yeah.
Now I really want more ciders.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we went out to the Acropolis because I thought we were going to go do other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up just hanging out at the Acropolis.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun, and we got steak bites. We ate so much. I was like sitting there. I couldn't finish my steak bites. Like I'm like, I got to. I have to. And I forced
it's a moral
it
imperative now.
Yes. And it was so good because we also went to another. We went to a brewery, and I'm totally blanking on what it was called. It was just down the street from our hotel. It was a lot of fun. We went to Casa Diablo 2, but that was kind of not as poppin'. There wasn't a whole lot of people. I hear the Casa Diablo 1 has more people in it.
I forget which one we went to for my buddy's bachelor party, but yeah,
it was probably the first one, because I feel like Casa Diablo 2 has not been around very long.
Okay.
But I mean, they're very much, my friend pointed out, she's like, they're much more hustly, if you will. Like, they are there, they're like, hey, do you want to dance? I can do this for this, this, like, hey. And they'll sit there and, like, flirt with you and talk to you and, like,
right.
Make you think that they care. So I'm like, good on them for hustling. I'm not going to pay $1,000 to see you naked.
No.
Like, their prices are a little bit more high. Yeah. I'm like, and I was telling my buddy, I'm like, if you're going to spend that money to do that, like, you can give it to me and I'll do stuff under, like, because you don't see a lot of the stuff. Like, oh, you know, bottoms on, you know,
yeah,
you don't get to see the full meal deal. I'm like, if you're not going to see the full meal deal, just give me $100 and I'll do something. Like, I don't know. Like, like, really? Like, that doesn't make sense. But that's just me. I'm also a girl.
There you are.
But I mean, it was a fun time overall, like seeing the girls try to flirt with my buddy, and it's like, he's not going to pay. He's not going to pay for these services, but you have fun flirting.
Money, honey.
And I even tried telling one of them, like, honey, like, we don't want to prevent you from making money. Like, this isn't going to happen.
You're wasting your time.
I was even polite. I'm like, we'll think about it. Cause it was like three of us. Like, we'll think about it, but go, you know, go work your angle. And then granted, there was not many people there.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So. I mean, that's the thing. When there's not a very big crowd, you got to expect a little extra hustle.
So
I've heard.
Yes, there was some hustling going on, and like, yeah, I did fall in love with a stripper. Her name was like Poison Ivy at the Acropolis, and she was just so much fun. She had like the crazy eyes. Oh God, she did this thing, and this is what made me fall in love, and it was really gross and really funny. You know the trick when people do like the mime trick where they look like they tie their string around their lip and they kind of pull their lip from either side?
I've seen that one, yeah.
I think like Jennifer Lawrence did that too, where it looks like you're pulling your lip or hair and then pulling like with an invisible string.
Your upper lip goes one way and your bottom lip goes the other way.
Yeah. Like it looks like you're literally tugging it with your fingers.
It's impressive.
She did that, but where she got her quote-unquote string...
Uh-oh.
She did the invisible string, like, you know, from a certain area.
Oh.
She, like, plucked it off and then pretended to tie it onto her bottom lip and then up her upper lip and then did it. And I'm sitting there like, take my money. Take my money. You are awesome.
You win, Ivy. Well played.
And she's like, yeah, if you guys want to hang out later, let me know. Which was, her prices were a lot cheaper than the other place. But I was like, probably not. Like, it was only a couple minutes. So I was like, But I appreciate you, and so she very much liked me and my friend's bosoms, so it was nice.
There we go.
It was very lovely. She was very nibbly, and I was like, I got all flustered. It was nice. But yeah, I had a really good time. Came back and just kind of chilled out the next couple days, had some friends over. I made s'mores by myself.
Solid. Like microwave s'mores, or did you do them like over the stove or something?
We did. We have like a little fire pit.
Oh, okay, cool.
In our backyard. Our backyard's awesome.
You win.
I almost don't want to move out of my parents' house. It makes me want to have a really cool house one day.
There you go.
But yeah, that was the I had going on this weekend. Do you know what you're doing this coming weekend?
No. I think not much, fortunately. This is going to be one of those weekends where I don't have a lot actually planned yet. And that's a good thing. I'll take just a chill and play some video games and you know, do some yard work and things like that. That'd probably be my weekend. Fingers crossed.
That's a good weekend, though.
Yeah.
I have a friend coming into town for a wedding, and he used to work at the restaurant with me, and so we hung out a couple months ago, and he was very drunk because he had been drinking. So he wants to see if we can get all get together again. So I might do that and go down to Ballard. And so if I do that, like we got to figure out his schedule mm-hmm. and then try to get all the other girls from the restaurant to get in together. So we might all hang out on Saturday, but then it's also like the Wide Only and the Wreckage, Lowlander, and like Stoic.
Oh, where are they playing?
They're playing at Tractor Tavern in Ballard.
Nice. So, I love the Tractor.
I do too. It's so much fun there. So, I mean, if you guys need something to do on Saturday, you should definitely hit them up because they are awesome live, all of them. But I might hit that up if I'm hanging out with them. Be like, ladies, mm-hmm. let's go. Ladies and Nathan.
So, ladies.
Yeah, actually,
and then
yes.
go get a steak at Hattie's. Hattie's
I've never had a steak at Hattie's. I love Hattie's, but
best
I've never thought
I
to get
had.
Really.
I say that with no hesitation. Best steak I've ever had.
I don't know. Acropolis is pretty awesome.
They do a good spread. But I mean, the steak at Hattie's is better.
What kind of sides? Because here's the thing. As much as I do love the Acropolis, I'm not too fond of their sides.
Okay.
Because, like, they do just french fries or, like, a plain baked potato.
Oh, you can't get mashed?
No.
Then you're wasting your time.
Exactly. Go so, like, what are the sides? What are the sides at Hattie's?
I did the mashed potatoes and the steamed broccoli.
Oof.
And it's garlic steamed broccoli. And it's a garlic butter steak, whatever you call that, not sauteed, not marinated, but you know,
pan fried.
Uh-huh. They cook it with garlic butter and rosemary, and then garlic mushrooms on top of that.
I'm so hungry, dude. Okay, that's why I'm gonna end the podcast.
Let's wrap it up and go eat
because I need food. I only had my cornflakes this morning at 4 a.m. So I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready to get out of here. All right, guys. I don't know if Sarah will be back next week. If not, probably Chris will.
Yay!
So any questions you guys have for us, any comments on anything we talked about today, please send them our way via text or even voicemail.
Yeah.
We will definitely play that on the podcast. So see you guys next time.